It's good. It's good. Oh, good morning. Good morning, beautiful angels all around the world. So, I'm back. Guess who's back? Nelima Ahad Chowdhury is back with her Monday dose of, well, a little bit of everything. But the main thing is, main purpose is to raise mental health awareness all around the world. All around the world. Irrelevant, irrespective of race, religion, color, sex, gender, age, everything. Everyone should be aware of mental health and how it affects each and every one of us. And I believe, and I still do believe, and I hope that you will agree that we were all born to make a difference. So let's just go ahead and make that difference. Thank you. Right. So on that note, I have got something very special to share with you guys. Basically, I was going to share about my DACA life. But I kind of digress, as you know, bipolar has no stop button and we like to make impulsive decisions. We don't like to, but we just do that. It's part of bipolar mania. So, I would like to introduce you to a very, very good friend of mine who I met in my schema therapy, which I've already spoken about if you had listened to me in my first episode. This is Hope. I shall hand you over to Hope. And hopefully she says good things about me, but we shall see. Yep.
I find it hilarious that we're digressing and you bring in somebody who has ADHD and I'm here to take you on a magical mystery tour on a dopamine rush.
Brilliant.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me.
I just love the fact that now I finally found someone that can enjoy me on this emotion, like, you know, like this roller coaster ride.
Yes.
Yes.
It's, I probably encourage it a bit too much at times, but you know.
It is, especially when you said to me, Nelly, are we on any drugs or anything? I said, no, it's called a natural high.
We don't need them.
No, we don't need them. We don't need them, but people need to know that. It's a natural drug that just gives you, you know, it's a natural high, guys. Having bipolar and having mental illnesses, it's like, it's such an advantage now. I used to be embarrassed, ashamed, etc. And I'm like, wow, now that I've accepted it, now that I've embraced it, I'm like, do you know what? I'm extra special compared to the rest of the world because I've got this extra energy that I used to think only exists in, like, I don't know why. Like, I used to think, like, you know, African people generally have a better, like, energy.
Yeah, quality.
Yeah, energy. They don't need alcohol or drugs to.
I think there's a massive bit around learning how to manage it though.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think anybody out there with that drive.
It's been difficult. It is.
You want to chase it.
Yeah.
And you have to know, you have to learn when to say stop, Nelly.
Obviously. I know. Oh, well, I have Steve to help me with that at the moment, and I'm sure you do as well. You know when to stop my button, but yeah, like I said, it's like a Ferrari.
Surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, if anything, I have learned to save my energy for the right ones.
Yes.
Yep. And not allow negative energy to come my way anymore. It doesn't matter who it is.
Because that's when you flourish.
It is. I have been, it's like I've wasted so many years. Yeah. So many years. And I could have done this a lot earlier and I could have helped so many people. Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, inshallah, I'm here now, alhamdulillah. I am here to help. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that you're joining me on this journey because I'm sure.
Well, I didn't have much choice, did I?
Oh, did I force you? Please don't.
No. I'm here of my own free will, I promise.
Listen, I'm not paying you anything.
No, she's
exactly,
not really.
Exactly. Can we just make that clear, please? Can we clarify?
Love
I don't
love.
Have any money to pay you anyway. Let's not go there. Come on. Genuine love.
Yep, come on.
So what do you do then, Hope? How did you actually meet me? I think we should start. Yes, let's start there.
Where all good stories do. Once
well,
upon a time.
Well, I was just a mute button. So, yeah.
I said this to you earlier, but I'm going to repeat it. So I remember the first time I saw you and you walked into said therapy group. We won't mention and in you walked in your designer shades, you'd rolled up in your BMW, and It was me in the corner with my notebook and my pens and my folder all ready to go. And I sat,
you were so organized.
I was so organized. I was on it. I was, it's something ADHD people do. We over prepare because we're so worried we're going to fail. But then,
a bipolar perfectionist as well. But,
but then we look like we're so on it and people trust us and we're like, you have no idea what's going on behind this mask. Yeah. Like,
exactly.
All falling apart in a minute. But yeah, I remember sitting there and thinking, this lady has an energy. She's way cooler than me. That song was going through my head.
Oh yeah.
And you said nothing. You said nothing for like 3 weeks. And yeah. And then when you did speak though, Christ, did we all listen?
Like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't stopped listening to what you said since, if I'm honest, which is why you've got me here.
It's good. So
tell me what your first reactions.
I marked my presence well then. Yes.
You
yes.
Did,
yes.
You did. Okay. You did. You made it.
My first reaction was when I saw you with the books,
the
pens, the ring binders, the highlighters. It was like, wow, because that's what I used to do at school. Mm. So, you know, when I wanted to learn, you know, I would do the whole be so prepared, organized, perfectionist in everything, best folder, best, you know, my thing was going out and buying the best pencil case, best everything.
The best pencil case.
Yeah, it is. Best folders, everything. So yeah, I saw you and I was just like, wow, she's here on a mission. And I'm just sat there thinking, I'm here and I don't want to be here, but I have to be here for the sake of my kids, basically. You know, this is why I'm here. And I just want to listen to other people and hopefully I'm going to give it a chance. Mm. If it helps, it helps. If it doesn't, well, at least I can say I tried. Mm. But yeah, I saw you, and after obviously the initial introduction of the whole group, you just stood out more than anyone else because you were just like, listen, you basically just said it blatantly. You're like, I'm here to get the help that I need. And I hope that you can provide it for me, but I'm here to learn. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to get involved. I'm not just going to sit back and waste this session. Your time is valuable. Honestly, your time is valuable. I'm here. I want results. So give me some results. That was you. That was me. I was just saying, uh-oh, she's a born leader. Like, uh-oh, watch out, Nelly.
I've been told I project my high expectations on other people at times.
No.
I think I clearly did.
But do you know what? That kind of the confidence that you brought out in the initial introduction, it kind of woke all of us up. Like, we kind of sat up. So we were all kind of sat back. And then when you just came in and you just kind of, like, own the place and said, right, we're here for a reason, guys. Mm. Don't forget that. Mm. We're all in the same boat kind of thing. We're asking for help. You know, we're not just going to sit here and just listen to the experts tell us what to do. We've done that. Mm. Now let's learn. That's when I thought, okay, she must have a teacher background.
And do you remember, I think it was on that first day that I brought that quote out, which about the universe.
Yes. And
to, but there were some other really good quotes.
But this quote stayed with you. And hopefully this episode is yours with that quote. Mm. So would you, yeah.
So I noticed that your people weren't supporting you, said the universe. So I sent you a bunch of strangers. And I remember sitting in that room and looking at you all and thinking, I would not have come across any of these amazing people in my day-to-day life. They would not have met me. Yet we are all connected in some way.
And
they all get me.
It was strange, isn't it?
It was so strange.
But we didn't realise that until a few sessions after. You didn't think that the first session. You were probably thinking, oh my God, I'm in here with a bunch of lunatics.
No, I thought that. Again, it's an ADHD.
What, initial meeting?
Yeah, you bond very, very quickly with people.
I was hoping that
I was ready to lie down in front of fire for you guys, like straight away.
From the first thing?
Yeah.
See, that's that energy.
It's a dangerous thing.
It is a very dangerous thing. You don't do that on the first meeting, yes. But
you get, you know, people take.
But having said that, on the first thing, I knew that you were going to lead the group. I knew it. And you did, all the way to the end. No, you did, you did.
I'm a reluctant.
Hope, you did it. You did it. You brought hope to the group when we lost it. Every single time, every single person. And then it wasn't until one session, which I won't go into, I saw you break. Mm. And I was like, everyone has that break. Okay. Mm. Everyone has it. That was just wake up call for me.
And to be honest, though, I'm not going to go into it, but I do remember that session. Yeah. I remember you all
shocked,
sat back.
Yeah,
I can't remember who said it, and somebody said,
"You can't be like
the floor's yours."
Yeah, no,
we are here for you, whatever you need.
Because all along you carried us through, and then it was like our lead is breaking now. Yeah. Honestly, that's how it felt, especially for me. But do you know what? When I saw you break, I was like, "This now I need to get up."
Yeah, yeah.
Now I need to get up.
Yeah.
And honestly.
There's a group.
It is.
That's community.
Yes, it is. Yes, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So, initial reaction of me was this is crazy lunatic. Yep.
No. Just you gave off an aura of you came from a different world to mine.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but just we
were different.
Came from different planets.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think it's beautiful when people from different worlds meet.
Yeah, connect, yeah.
That mask, that front, that, you know, if we met in a bar, we probably would walk past. You would be like, who is that scruffy kid over there in the corner? Like, we wouldn't talk. So meeting in a scenario like that.
Well, actually, no, I like to talk to anyone and everyone.
Yeah, I mean, so do I, to be honest.
Exactly. So we probably would have exactly. Oh, let's not mention Las Vegas, shall we? Yes,
no,
not
no,
quite
no,
yet.
No,
yeah,
no, it's top secret mission. Road trip.
Okay. Right. So, Hope, can you obviously, what do you do? Like, you know, what is your, I think the world needs to know all about you. And yeah.
So, I predominantly work in artistic fields, let's say. And one area that I'd really like to address on the therapy front is art therapy, which is something that I'm really passionate about. I do a lot of work in. And the thing that sticks with me and how I explain it to people, because when you say art therapy, they go, well, what are we doing? Are we painting, you know, feelings?
How yeah.
And I tell them the quote, which is paint and pencils, clay, however you want to portray yourself, it can express something within you that you don't have the words for.
I think it's absolutely beautiful that you guys can do that. And within, I've got three children, my AAAs. So Amara, she's my youngest, and she is the one that just, she expresses through art at the age of, she's just turned 10. And hence, I want the best mentor for her. And hence, I request that you mentor her, because I've seen, you know, how you are and everything. And you'd be the best person for her. Honestly, I'm privileged to say that, yes, I'm giving you my daughter. Mentor her, please. Because I think she's been the one that's been most affected as the youngest.
Yes.
You know, throughout, I've been through a divorce, obviously. It's been very difficult. You know, she's seen her mum diagnosed with bipolar, divorced,
she's
all
had
in
to support you,
know,
you in ways
yeah
beyond
but she still stayed strong, but you know, like, her release was through art everywhere, to this point where her room is so creative that it's in a complete mess. And I just think artists are probably more like their minds, I don't know, they just love, like, when we drive up anywhere we go, she looks at graffiti. So she likes Banksy, all this stuff, and she looks at graffiti. We went to London a couple of weeks ago, and she was the one that came up with the logo, initial logo.
Yes.
So yeah, Born to Make a Difference, and then I passed it on to you, and I passed it on to obviously the
where it is now.
Yeah, where it is now. And look, you know, she was behind that. And not only that, we were going through a tunnel, I think Blackwell Tunnel or something in London, if anyone goes through there. So my episode, the first title of my episode, Why Me, Why Not, came from graffiti on the tunnel whilst going to London. And that's because Amara pointed it out and said, Mummy, look at that. Why me, why not?
I mean, a large area my art business is going into now is outdoor mural work.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, graffiti is a side product of that. But yeah, I think it's painting on established buildings, places where we walked, like just in your general environment, it does have a different effect.
It's weird you say that. You know, just because of Amara now, I'm actually taking interest in it. Yeah. Before, I used to think, why do these artists mess up nice looking buildings? Yeah. Honestly, I that's how I used to feel. And I'm sure a lot of other people, they make a mess wherever they go. It's like graffiti, hello?
Yeah.
Can you not just do it in your own homes?
Yeah.
But I never ever thought about, this is how they're expressing their feelings.
Yeah.
So this is their voice. through art.
So we realized as well, didn't we, that we have a connection going back.
Yeah, that was so strange.
Weird.
It was really weird. So weird, yeah.
So you mentioned, I remember hearing, I didn't even realize until I heard your previous episode.
Yeah.
You started talking about the high school.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I didn't mention it that much, but yeah. I think I, yeah, briefly mentioned that I went to Aylesbury High School in Aylesbury.
And I went there.
Failed my 11 plus, but my dad still managed to get me in there. So yeah, we were okay.
We weren't there at the same time. You'd left when I joined there. But the...
let's not get into the age factor. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, the education system in particular in secondary school is in a different place now than it was when we were younger.
100%. Yeah.
But there was so much lacking in
when we were there. Yeah. It was, wasn't it? It was just...
I mean, personally, for me, I was misdiagnosed for years.
So was I, yeah.
Years with the wrong thing. And
what were you misdiagnosed with?
So I was misdiagnosed with, I had anorexia.
Yeah.
Which I did. That's not a lie. I had anorexia and I had treatment. But there was no looking into why I had anorexia.
Same. Similar. So basically, they diagnose with anorexia to start off with. I think that's their kind of... you know, system.
Go-to.
Yeah, go-to. That they start off with anorexia and then it turned into bulimia.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, as it often does.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then they told me I had ADHD. I had... So, I feel like I have a bit of everything.
Mm.
Now that I know, you know. Oh, and...
She's saying this. There's a sea of snacks on the table in front of us.
A sea of
kid
snacks.
In a candy store has been.
I trying. Just love feeding.
Impulse
my guests.
Control. Nelly.
I'm from a hospitality background. Hence, I have to make sure that my guests are well fed.
Yes, I'm not eating the rest of the day.
But you're not so fortunate as...
What are you saying, Nelly?
Well, previously, the fortunate ones that didn't realise that they were fortunate actually got hand-cooked snacks and hand-cooked breakfast and
what?
Hand-cooked lunches and hand-cooked dinners. Nowadays, I've kind of... That passion has kind of... is on hold for the moment.
Mm.
Because obviously I need to spend more time doing things that are probably more valuable, which is giving my energy... to my children, focusing on them,
mm-hmm.
letting them mess my house. Mm. So it looks like Hiroshima bomb has hit my house. But it's okay. Every weekend, you know, we go through the role of, you know, telling them, please, guys, help me. And I'm just on, well, repeat.
To be honest, though, that's important. You know, I came from a background when I grew up almost of you didn't get involved.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That wasn't your role as a
yeah.
child. And actually teaching them life skills and
yeah.
how to function.
It's a big thing, isn't it?
It's a big thing.
It is huge. I mean, now, especially, obviously, like, obviously, you might be aware that obviously I've gone through a divorce. So their father's abroad, you know, for many months. He's basically based abroad. Hence, I'm having to fulfill the role of a mother and a father.
Mm.
And believe me, yeah, it's difficult. It's very hard because especially when I come to certain hurdles where it's like, as the mother, there's certain things that I can't fulfill, you know. There's certain things that I think only dads can do. Only dads can do, only fathers can fulfill that, right? Especially as regards to my son, because obviously, you know, he's surrounded by three females, very strong females as well. And I see it now, like, you know, the kind of discipline. He doesn't have any, like, he doesn't have anyone to look up to. So he's just thinking, oh, it's just the women around here, you know, kind of.
I think that may be a cultural divide between us there, to be honest, which maybe. Is interesting to hear because, yeah. again, not being aware of that. I mean, in my world, a man and a woman can do, I grew up surrounded in a house of men.
Yeah,
and
same here as
I
well.
I grew up thinking, well, anything you can do, I can do better.
Yes, exactly. It was a challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, you say that, and a very good friend of mine who's actually indirectly led me to this, and obviously I'll mention her a bit later on as well. She basically said to me, like, why are you so masculine? Like, why? Mm. And I said, I don't want to be. I actually want to be a woman. I actually like the femininity, but it's almost like this world is telling me you have to be masculine. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to put that masculine aura on or whatever. Otherwise, people are just going to walk all over you.
Mm. I mean, that... And it's, that's, you know, another conversation.
It is, but that's another topic. All in anyway, let's not digress again. Bipolar, no. Stop button. Hope yeah, you need to press my stop button. Anyway, carry on, please, because I'm just, I'm intrigued with all your experience as well with ADHD. Honestly, like,
let's talk about, because to be honest, as we said, I was misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. I was someone who was late diagnosed, which I'm not the only one out there. There's a swarm of people, particularly women, being diagnosed late at the moment. And it actually really annoys me because in one way you feel incredibly validated all of a sudden. You're like, yes, this is what this is. This is what I've been struggling with my whole life. But there's a little bit, because everybody's being diagnosed.
Yeah.
It kind of loses its credibility.
Yeah, I know.
And the amount of people that say to me, you know,
oh, what is ADHD? Everyone has it.
Everyone's got it.
Yeah, I know.
And you think... No, they really don't.
Yeah.
You know.
They think they do.
Everyone's a bit scatty. Everybody forgets where their keys go. Not everybody has
ADHD.
6,000 jobs going on at the same time, thinking they can achieve them all, and has a soundtrack in their head to, you know, it's not the same thing. And it's quite insulting, I would say, when it comes up.
Yeah.
And then you get told you're being too sensitive. But being diagnosed late in life is incredibly grieving as well, and that's misunderstood, because people think you should just be very happy you've got a diagnosis and go, that's great, what are you going to do with your life now? But they don't take into account what you have to grieve that you lost, and what different decisions you would have made, and the different support that would have been available to you.
Do you remember, you know, at the end of our session of schema therapy, when they asked us, what did you get out of it? Mm. All I said was, my time's gone. I'm 45, going to be 46 next month, November the 26th. Yes, guys, you remember? Anyway, yes. Woo. So, and I just said, it's too late for me. So I want to be able to help the children of our future, because had I had therapy back then when it all started, then maybe I would not be sat here today.
Do you remember someone in our group? I'm not going to say any names.
Yeah.
I remember them saying at the end, God, I'd wish I'd met you when I was younger.
Yeah, I do.
And I remember thinking.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Because, maybe, you know, if we had met earlier, we would have had each other, we would have had this kind of connection bond, and we wouldn't be sat in therapy. We would not be sat in therapy. And this is what I want to like focus on, that I'm not saying complete abolishment of, you know, medication, whatever. You know, I still believe that it is necessary when required. But having said that, previous societies, you just look at the history.
Mm.
How did they survive? It's not that mental health just kind of popped up now because it's the new trend or something. They all had it, but they used people as their therapy, i.e. the communities. They used to talk to each other. They had time for each other. You know, they spoke to each other. Like what I'm saying now, it's people therapy. That is your main medication. People are our main medication.
Can I digress? I have to.
Go on.
It's burning in me. So on what you've just said, did you know that antidepressant companies launched depression and anxiety in Japan? Didn't exist in their world,
just to make money from it.
They advertised it,
so
the pharmaceutical company
make money.
Could make money,
but this is it's crazy, isn't
it's
it
crazy.
But it's crazy that the whole world follows, like, even, you know, my immediate family and everything, they're like, anything goes wrong, we need to go to the doctors, we need to get medicine for this. Everything, they think medication is the answer. No, this is wrong. They're brainwashing us to think that.
And Nelly, what's your experience with medication been, if you don't mind me asking? You found it's helped?
No, not at all. If anything, it's changed me of who I am. Mm. Like, you know, I'm not myself when I'm on medication. I turn into a vegetable, or I turn extra hyper, or I lose control over my body to the point things that happen to my body that I have no control over.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to be embarrassed to admit, I think the wake up call was when I was on the antidepressant called sertraline. Okay.
Yeah.
I needed to go to the toilet and I was not aware that I needed to go to the toilet, basically. Mm-hmm. And that was just like, I'm never taking this medication again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my only experience has been with antidepressants and fluoxetine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I took that as well.
There's a time and a place. Yeah. I would say when there has been moments when I've experienced incredible burnout, it has stopped the anxiety, stopped the spiral of, you know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like even, you know, manic episodes.
Yeah. There's a time when it becomes dangerous.
Yes. Then you have to take it.
We need you to be a vegetable. Yes. Just for a little bit.
Yep. And then you can get back up again. Yeah, it was.
But then you reach that moment quite quickly where you're like, I'm not functioning. I can't think straight.
Yeah.
Who am I?
I had that when the mania was completely out of control. Like it was just, and they just had to kind of put me down with olanzapine.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, I mean, again, I digress. I hyper-focus on this. I've done a lot of research.
Yeah.
Antidepressants were never designed for people to be on indefinitely.
Yes, I know.
They were designed for like 6 weeks. That's what it says on the
They were designed for 6 weeks, but they put that addictive substance in there to make people addicted to those.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate, sad.
And they're changing our brain chemistry.
They are. Because unless they get you addicted, they're going to stop making money from you.
Yeah.
And this is what everyone needs to be aware about. You know, you're feeding these pharmaceutical companies to make money out of you.
Yeah.
So let's think about that one.
Yeah.
I'm digressing again, but you know, it's just something that I feel so strongly about, because now, even when, you know, when our therapist asked us, what did we get out of it? And I was just like, I wish I had you lot to do this with me when I was, you know, a child. Because I don't want my children or the children of our future going through what we're going through. We don't want new hopes and new Nellies created. Yes? No.
Well. We don't want them going through what we went through.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. But you can't create new hopes and new Nellies because we're unique. We are individuals. We were born to be different. Yeah. And now we want to make that difference.
Yeah.
And we want to the whole world to be aware of how mental health affects each and every one of us.
And, you know, there's so much more representation out there these days. So much. There's so many amazing other podcasts.
Yeah.
Many that I listen to. But there's still gaps.
Yes.
There's still gaps.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of them are just going quite by the books, so they're just going by, I don't know, actually, you know, I haven't, you know, but
I think everyone has a specific journey.
They do so. And but you know, when different. I started this journey about the podcast, I just want something raw, real, that I believe anyone and everyone can relate to. Like I say all the time, if you have a mind, you will have mental health issues.
Yeah.
And I believe that every single one of us, whether it's Beyonce, whether it's Jay-Z, you know, the pop stars, Kim Kardashian, Kris Jenner, I think, you know, Richard Branson, et cetera, et cetera, whoever you are, whatever your name is, however, you know, you have mental health issues that we're all dealing with. Some are embarrassed to share or they don't know how to share.
Mm.
But this is why I just want to be a normal nobody. And just voice my opinion.
You're not a nobody.
Really?
You're a somebody.
Hopefully.
I have another quote for you. I have a whole trick of those. So Vincent van Gogh, he's my favourite artist.
Van Gogh,
Van Gogh, I can't talk properly.
Well, that's good, no. I like to call him Vincent van Gogh, but
Goffy.
Yeah, Goffy. Go on.
He wrote in one of his letters to Theo, I was aware that one could break their arms and legs and they would heal. I wasn't aware one could break their mind and that would heal too.
Wow.
And
wow.
For me, that kind of says it all. That's why I've been to New York now 3, 4, 5 times. And I just stand in front of Starry Night. And again, it annoys me that many artists out there would be like, oh, Starry Night, that can't be your favorite painting. It's so generic. But it's not about what it looks like for me. It's about where he was, what was happening. He was suffering a mental breakdown. This is what he produced. You know,
yeah.
I see myself in it.
Yeah.
And I think there's an element of any of us who've been in the dark spreading our light that is a little bit of an obligation.
Yeah.
And a bit of, you just hope people, that's anybody out there who's suffering, like you say.
Yeah.
If you can help in any way, if you can
that they feel comfortable to share with someone, you know. And I'd like, you know, obviously I'm just starting off, but I'd like for listeners to eventually call in and who knows.
You better hire some more people then.
Yeah, well, you better help me. You better help me, Hope. You know, this is so anyway, I just want to, obviously we're digressing and we're coming to an end, obviously. And I just want to say a very big thank you, Hope, you know, for joining me on this journey. And just want to leave it at this episode is dedicated to you. Dedicated to you and your journey along this path. So, episode 3. I noticed how your people didn't support you, so I sent you strangers. The universe.